Campus FM je prezenta
Platea. Program li l-għanam esponenti ewlenin fit-teatru.
Li jitkellmu Malino Farrugia.
Platea, selmilkom. U illum nieħu gos illi magħna għandna Colin Willis illi dawn l-aħħar snin ilu jagħti semu fil-teatru Malti. Imma Colin meta kien ġie Malta kien ġie bħala l-Australian High Commissioner. U ovvjament din il-laqgħa tal-lum rridu bil-fors nagħmluha bl-Ingliż għalkemm naħseb illi Colin xi ftit bil-Malti ifhem qiegħed jitħab bħalissa Colin, jiġifieri jaf x'qiegħed ngħid. Colin, welcome and thank you very much for coming to talk with us about your career in the theatre. But obviously you had a different kind of career in the diplomatic corps, in the Australian diplomatic corps. How did the I would say that you had two careers. No, you had one career, which was the diplomatic corps, but an interest, great interest in the theatre. But your contribution in Malta has been a great contribution, which was a marvelous contribution. But let's start from the beginning, obviously. How was your interest in the theatre? How did it crop up? How did it happen if you had such an important positionings, probably, in the diplomatic corps?
Well, right at the beginning, Lino, I have to blame my mother.
This was in a
small country town in New South Wales where my mother was a school teacher.
Yes.
And this was primary school, and I was aged about 9 or maybe 10. Mm-hmm. And the school was putting on a play, Toad of Toad Hall.
Mm.
And one of the actors got sick.
Mm-hmm.
So my mother volunteered me to play the part of Mole. I said,
"She's a good one."
Okay. and that was my first stage experience. And I remember vividly, I was hidden under a pile of leaves, and I had to make my entrance by coming out of the leaves and saying something. I've forgotten what. But I remember very clearly standing up and saying my lines, and something clicked. I liked this. So I enjoyed being in the play. And from then on, whenever I could, I got involved in school productions, later at the university, later where I really learned my trade, which was at the Canberra Repertory Society.
I see. So it was a career. You went to repertory.
No, all of this was done as an adjunct to my main activity at the time, be it my university studies or be it my training period and later working in the Department of Foreign Affairs and Trade in Canberra. But wherever I was able to, I tried to get involved in theatrical things. So I was a member of the Tokyo International Players when I was in Tokyo.
As an ambassador?
No. I was a much more junior officer in those days. But there, in my posting, for example, in Buenos Aires, I got involved in the group there, which was called the Suburban Players.
I see.
When I was in Geneva, I got involved with the Geneva Amateur Dramatic Club.
When I
was in Malta, I got involved in the Malta Amateur Dramatic Club, and here I am.
So you've mentioned Tokyo as your first experience. So, and I know that we have prepared some extracts that to your liking. And what is the extract that you performed in 1984, no?
Yes.
Will you tell us what was the performance there?
The play was Harold Pinter's The Homecoming. It was put on in the American Club in Tokyo.
American Club, I see.
Well, at least they had a stage.
I see. The
and I played the part of Lenny, who is a really very nasty character indeed. And I enjoyed it.
So, let's hear Colin Willis interpreting Lenny in the Homecoming.
I tell you what, Dad.
said, since you're in the mood for a bit of a chat, I'll ask you a question. It's a question I've been meaning to ask you for some time. That night, you know, that night you got me. That night with Mum. What was it like? What was the background to it? I mean, I want to know the real facts about my background. I mean, for instance, is it a fact that you had me in mind all the time? Or is it a fact that I was the last thing you had in mind? I'm only asking this in a spirit of inquiry, you understand that, don't you? I'm curious. Well, there's lots of people my age share that curiosity, you know that, Dad? They often ruminate, sometimes singly, sometimes in groups, about the true facts of that particular night, the night they were made in the image of those two people at it. It's a question long overdue from my point of view. But as we happen to be passing the time of day here tonight, I thought I'd pop it to you.
We're back to Plateau, and we're talking to with Colin Willis, who has just interpreted Lenny in The Homecoming. So your career moved from one country to the other, starting from Tokyo in the theatre at the same time, while your career was as well in the diplomatic corps. Now, what were the experiences? I mean, you were in repertory before, but then you ended up in this company in Tokyo. What was the reaction of the audiences? What was the experience? Well, how do these experiences change from one country to the other?
Well, Lino, in my experience, actually, audiences, and indeed the people who get involved in these sorts of things, are very similar.
Mm.
I should write a book one day, which is something like Amateur Dramatics the World Over. And there are things that are common in every country, like, for example, in Tokyo and in Buenos Aires and in Geneva and in Malta. It's very hard to find enough men. there are just many things that are common, but I do have to confess that I did have a job, actually. It was not theatre.
It
was tacked on to my job wherever I could. And once or twice I got into a little bit of trouble. For example, in Buenos Aires, Suburban Players, the group there, were going to put on a particular play, and I was interested in getting involved. And my ambassador knew this, and one day he called me in and said, Colin, don't you dare.
Why?
Don't you dare get involved. We have several important visitors coming. We have several important events, and I want you paying attention to your job full time.
Mm. What did you do?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Three makes four, sir.
Yeah. And you didn't take part?
No.
No.
So that's it. Mm. So when I could, I did.
What year are we talking about when this happened?
This is 1976 or 77.
Oh, I see. This was before Tokyo.
Yes.
I see. But you started your career, you started your interest in the theatre, obviously, in Australia.
Yes.
In repertory.
That was when I really learned things. The Canberra repertory.
What was that experience in repertory in Australia? Now, explain that to us, because repertory is nearly professional, no? How come that you ended up in repertory and still studying?
There is an organisation called the Canberra Repertory Society, which has been going for about 80 years or so.
Mm-hmm.
It's similar to the MADC.
Mm-hmm.
But the repertory has its own theatre. It has good lighting and sound facilities.
Mm-hmm.
And over the years, it has consistently provided very good level theatre.
Mm-hmm.
So when I was first involved, they had a resident artistic director who would direct plays, and he was a professional theatre guy.
Uh-huh.
So one of the first really good experiences I had was with this artistic director who's still around, mm-hmm. but not in the job in the repertory anymore. But he's still around. Being cast in The Importance of Being Earnest.
And who was he?
His name is Ross McGregor.
He never came to Moda because there was a director who came to Moda, which you brought over.
I remember. And that director was Colin Anderson.
Colin Anderson, yes.
And
you'll tell us about Colin Anderson
later on. Anyway, so the experience with Ross McGregor as a director was really very good.
Mm-hmm.
He had a particular style, I'm sure, which wouldn't necessarily go down well in Malta.
Why?
And I remember. He would say, for example, sit up the back of the auditorium and say, "Can't hear!" Or...
I know other people who do that.
"Don't believe you!" "Stop acting! Be natural!" Stuff like that. You can imagine saying that to a few people here.
Well, that's been done by somebody I know. They don't like it, no. I don't think any actor likes it, actually.
Well, that's the way it was. And believe me, you learn.
You
I did. You had to. Yeah,
you
exactly.
Have to. So let's move a little bit and more about your experience. So that was your traumatic experience in Australia. Then you went to various other places. Then acting, meeting actors. What was the feel? What was the difference between one country and the other where actors are concerned? I mean, obviously, these actors had to speak English, but they weren't English born. They weren't English speaking like in Malta.
Not at all.
Not at all. So what was the experience there?
Interesting, you might
say.
In what way? Well, for example, in Geneva, there are quite a lot of Americans.
Sure.
And they have a slightly different approach to things, but not really different.
Mm-hmm.
It's really the same the whole world over. That people who...
Are interested in theatre.
Interested in theatre who are amateurs... but pretty good in terms of abilities,
uh-huh.
have the same values. They have the same approach to things. So it's not like, even though you're in a foreign country, for example, it's not like being in a foreign country.
Yes.
So there's a cultural mix.
Yes, it's a community theatre, isn't it? It's a community of theatre people. And you find affinity there.
Well, precisely. All over the world.
Yes.
Well, that's my experience anyway.
Tokyo or Buenos Aires or wherever.
Yes, it's
a strange feeling, isn't it?
It's very nice feeling, actually.
Whenever I go to any country and I find people in the theatre, all of a sudden we're talking nearly the same kind of language.
Yes, exactly.
Let's hear Colin Willis now interpreting a different genre of theatre. Let's go to Ellen Egburn. And what are you going to interpret now?
This is the play A Chorus of Disapproval,
mm-hmm.
which was performed in the Manuel Theatre
uh-huh.
in 1998, in which I played a rough Yorkshire businessman.
That must have been Jarvis, no?
Yes, that's
Jarvis.
Right.
Who was the cast on that? Do you remember the cast?
Yeah, various people who were still around. Edward Machia, uh-huh. Vanessa McDonald was in it. Ben Stewart, who's doing much theatre these days, but he was in it. So, Carice Borch was in it.
Carice Borch, I see. Mm. Yes. So, A Chorus of Disapproval, Colin Willis interpreting Jarvis.
Hey, the new, hey, that's what I like to see. A man practising his craft. I have a story about that. It will interest you. When I first went into farm as an apprentice lad, no matter I were boss's son, I started on shop floor. First day there, the foreman says, big fella he was, "Sweep that floor spotless, lad, spotless. I want to eat my dinner off that floor. All right?" And I sort of half-swept it, like you might. And when he comes back, he said, "What's this then?" he says. And he bends down and he pokes about, picks up this handful of sawdust that I missed, like, under the bench. And he says, "You're not expecting me to eat my dinner off this floor, then, are you?" He says, "I'd like to see you try it, my lad," he says. And he tells me, "Sit down." And he fetches a gummy bowl and spoon from rack, and he makes me eat all that sawdust just as it is. Every scrap. Nowt on it. No milk, no sugar. Raw sawdust. And it's the same like that every day for 3 months. No matter I was the boss's son. Those lads down in that shop, they taught me the hard way with mouthfuls of sawdust. Mind you, a while later, me dad had his stroke, and I took over the farm. I went down that shop first thing I did and sacked every bloody one of them. But I learned the trade. I were grateful to him for that.
We're back to Platea, Colin Willis interpreting Jarvis in A Chorus of Disapproval. So, I would say you've been, Colin, you've been all over the world nearly, no?
One or two gaps, Lena.
Any interesting experience, fantastic experience that you can remember that say, yes, that was a unique experience in some country or the other? Except Malta, because we haven't arrived in Malta yet, so that would be a different story.
Yeah, I can relate an interesting experience in Tokyo.
Mm-hmm.
This was very way back in 1970, when I first was in Tokyo.
I see. Mm-hmm.
And we did a play called Bell, Book and Candle.
Yes, I remember that. Yes, I know that play, yes. Mm-hmm.
We were invited to perform this play at an American Air Force base.
Mm. Mm.
And it was out in the western suburbs of Tokyo. Mm. And one of the cast members was involved with the terrible business of looking after the bodies of servicemen coming back from Vietnam.
Oh.
So this was the last stages of the Vietnamese War.
Oh. Mm.
Anyway, we took the play out to this Air Force base in a makeshift stage, and everybody had a good time.
Mm-hmm.
But I remember the experience vividly because the guy who was one of the cast members, who was effectively an undertaker, would speak cheerfully about how to manage dead bodies coming back from Vietnam.
Oh.
Now, there's not a lot to do with theatre, mind you, but it's sort of made an interesting experience. And, look, just going out there to the base and seeing how the people lived out there.
Yes, it was his living, wasn't it?
Yes, interesting
was,
and different.
Was his living. I feel terrible saying that, but... Then, obviously, after all this travelling, after all these, probably your experiences in the diplomatic corps, which you can't talk about, must have been very exciting, probably.
Well,
but I don't think you can.
We won't go into this.
Can't go into that, no. So we have to stick to the theatre. So, you arrived in Malta, and you came to Malta as an ambassador, as the Australian High Commissioner. So you got involved in the theatre, in that high position. So was Chorus of Disapproval your first experience of theatre, Malta?
No. The first thing I got involved in Malta was a production of Midsummer Night's Dream, which was done by the good Professor Joe Frigieri.
Yeah, I remember that.
In San Anton back in 1997.
97, yes.
And I got involved because I met Joe, in some context I've forgotten exactly what, during the course of my running around getting to know people.
Yes.
And it was also a fact that Joe lives just up the road from where the Australian residence is, in Sampol Tataja.
Yeah.
Anyway, we were chatting And on one occasion, and Joe said that he was directing Shakespeare, Midsummer Night's Dream at Saint Anton, and I said, oh, I said, I get involved in that sort of thing. And he said, oh, that's good. How would you like to be Duke Theseus? I said, certainly. And that was it. He signed me up on the spot.
So, you mentioning Shakespeare, but I know that you're interested in giving us some interpretations from Shakespeare, various interpretations. So let's go for the first one. And Colin has prepared for us now the part, the interpretation of Shylock and The Merchant of Venice.
Signor Antonio, many a time and oft in the Rialto you have rated me about my monies and my usances. Still, I have borne it with a patient shrug, for sufferance is the badge of all our tribe. You call me misbeliever, cutthroat dog, and spit upon my Jewish gabardine, and all for use of that which is mine own. Well then, it now appears you need my help. Go to then. You come to me, and you say, Shylock, we would have monies. You say so. You, that did void your room upon my beard, and foot me as you spurn a stranger cur over your threshold? Monies is your suit. And what should I say to you? Should I not say, hath a dog money? Is it possible a cur can lend 3,000 ducats? Or shall I bend low, and in a bondman's key, with bated breath and whispering humbleness, say this? Fair sir, you spit on me on Wednesday last. You spurn me such a day. Another time you call me dog. And for these courtesies, I'll lend you this much monies.
Coming back to Plataea, there was Shylock, Colin Willis, interpreting that beautiful speech from The Merchant of Venice. Well, we've had Colin recounting, giving us three extracts from three different works by various authors. And Colin, before we close this first interview with you in Plataea, do you think that theatre has changed over the years? I know it's a silly question, nearly.
Well, I'll give you a silly answer. Yes and no.
In what way?
Well, it has changed in terms, I think, of the way productions are presented. I mean, there's much more technology, if you like, and special effects and lighting and sound is all just infinitely better and sharper. I think also people have become less accustomed to long plays. We kind of have a short attention span these days, so any play that lasts for more than 2 hours is a problem.
Yes, it's true. It's true.
And so, for example, in the last production of Shakespeare I was in was Romeo and Juliet back in October last year, that done at St. James Cavalier, and for various reasons, much of the text was cut.
Yeah. We are being faced
with that problem. And that's it. So it's just impossible to do a full five acts of Hamlet these days.
No, you cannot.
But that's the main thing.
That's the main thing. Well, Colin, that's a good comment to comment about us audiences, about us people in the theatre, because it's all very true. Plataea says bye-bye and arrivederci, and we'll meet again.
Thank you, Lino. Thank you very much.
Contra ad inter sem au, Plataea. Program li la anima sponente Eulenin fe teatru.
Litkelmu Malino Farrugia.
Tecnici Carmenu Grec, Ucanit Mitzi.